Let's turn again in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight we're looking at verses 23 through 31. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. As you read through this 11th chapter, we might be tempted to say, look at how great faith is. But the truth is, we should say, look at how great the Lord is. It's not our faith, but it is rather God himself who does exploits and shows himself mighty on behalf of his children. As we've looked at the various Old Testament elders listed in this chapter so far, beginning with Abel, who all received a good report by faith, we've seen various aspects of faith. In the verses I've just read tonight, we see how that faith may deliver from the fear of man. That's the topic in these verses, how that faith may deliver from the fear of man. If you notice in verse 23, the parents of Moses, we are told, were not afraid of the king's commandment. Then in verse 27, Moses, not fearing the wrath of the king. Then in verse 31, though we do not read of Rahab not fearing, we know that she didn't when she received the spies. So first, the parents of Moses and their faith, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Their lot, the parents of Moses, their lot was to live in very difficult times, very difficult days. They were slaves in the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh, the king, who was a despot who had complete control, he charged the people, saying, every son, he told the Israelites, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. We know that he charged the midwives who waited upon the Israelites, he charged them, but they disobeyed his command. You know, God's people, we are to obey the civil rulers. The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 13, where he speaks about every power that is ordained of God, he said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be ordained of God. But when the civil ruler commands to do that which God has commanded not to be done, or not to do what God has commanded to be done, then what is a believer to do? Peter answered that question. In the book of Acts, he answered that question when the religious rulers commanded them, Peter and John, not to preach anymore in Jerusalem, not to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter answered him, and this is the answer concerning when we are commanded to do something that God has commanded us not to do, or not to do something that he has commanded us to do. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. The Lord Jesus Christ had commanded Peter and John to preach. And though the civil rulers, the religious rulers of that time, commanded them not to preach the gospel, they answered, you be the judge, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. The midwives, you read about this in Exodus chapter 2:1-2, the midwives disobeyed the king. And this is what we read about them. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, they feared God more than they feared the king. The midwives feared God, that he made them houses. In other words, they obeyed God rather than Pharaoh, and God made them houses. God protected them. God preserved them in Israel. So the parents of Moses, by faith, as this scripture here tells us, disobeyed Pharaoh, and they hid his son. You know, there's three arks, I believe, that are mentioned in the Word of God. And one of those that is mentioned is the ark in which they hid their son Moses. And when you read about that, isn't it amazing to see how that the Lord provided for their son? How that when they did what God had commanded, that is, God has commanded not to take the life of another person. We don't have that right, and I'm thankful we don't. We don't want that right. That's God's right. He is the one who gives life and takes life. He's the author of life. When they obeyed God and they hid their son as long as they could in their house, and then I'm sure like most little children, he started making noise and got to the place where he would be exposed, and then they would be exposed. So they made that ark and put their son in it and put it in the river. And isn't it amazing when you think about the providence of God in supplying and taking care of their son? How that Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river to bathe, and she found him. And she had compassion on him. She recognized that it was one of the Israelites' sons. But that heart that she had, who gave her that heart to have compassion upon this boy? We know it was the Lord. And so then, what's even to me more amazing, here's his sister standing a little distance, I assume. And when she saw that Pharaoh's daughter had taken the boy and wanted to keep the boy, needed someone to nurse the boy, then she goes and volunteers Moses' mother. And I'm sure Pharaoh's daughter paid his mother to do what she delighted in doing. All in God's providence. And how that in Pharaoh's house, God was raising up the man that he would call to deliver the slaves, Israelites, out of the land of Egypt. Have you ever thought about this? Now, they weaned their children at different ages. We reading recently about Samuel when Hannah weaned him and took him to the temple, to the tabernacle, and presented him to Eli. Well, he wasn't a baby. If she had taken a baby, a Samuel, if he had been 1 or 2 or 3 years old, he wouldn't have been any help to Eli. He would have been someone who needed help. So we're not certain. I've read different authors who say different ages when the Israelite women wean their children and what that word wean really means. But I know this, that when the mother of Moses took him home that day to nurse him, to take care of him, she knew that she had a limited amount of time to teach her son. She had a limited amount of time to teach him when he was old enough to be taught. And remember, Paul said this about Timothy, from a child thou hast fully known the scriptures. And yes, from a child, no doubt his mother knew she had to take advantage of every day she had with her boy, because the time would come, and it did come, when he would no longer be in her house. He would be in the courts of Pharaoh. And so she taught him, no doubt, about his people, that is Israel, about their God, and about the promises, the covenant promises that he had made with their forefathers, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No doubt she taught him that God had promised them the land of Canaan, that they were not always going to be slaves in Egypt, that God had set a time, 430 years, I believe it was, or 450 years, from the time that God made that promise to Abraham, and they were coming out. I encourage you to read through the scriptures. I try to read through the Bible every year. I know that's probably not possible for everyone. But every time you read through the scriptures, you just see new things. They're not new. They've been there all the time. But I've just been reading through this part of Exodus in the last week, and it's always such a blessing to read God's word and to know that the God we serve tonight, the God we worship tonight, he's the same God. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we too, when we, if we find ourselves in this position that his parents were in, when to obey the king, that's what the command was, but by faith, they disobeyed the king. By faith, trusting in God to provide for them and to take care of them. And we see God did just that. Now, the second part, Moses and faith. So that's his parents, the faith, the parents of Moses and their faith. It enabled them not to fear man. You know, the scripture says the fear of man bringeth a snare. And the faith that they had, by faith, by believing in God, seeing God as their strength, as their protection, as their shield, as their everything, then they didn't fear the wrath of the king. Now, second, Moses and his faith in verses 24 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, as saying to do, were drowned. One writer wrote, unlike his parents, Moses, Moses was not resisting an unjust edict, but he was rejecting an ungodly lifestyle. As the son of Pharaoh's daughter, all the advantages of the kingdom of Egypt was his. All that comes with wealth, all that comes with power to feed the vanity of the flesh, it was all his. It was all at his fingertips. It was all at his disposal. But at the age close to 40, he made a choice. He made a choice which forever changed his life. If he had not made the choice that he did, we wouldn't be reading about him tonight. Number one, he chose to identify with the people of God rather than be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, to be identified with the people of God, we live in a time, we love to be identified with God's people, don't we? With those who believe in Christ, those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But think, when he identified with the people of God were slaves. They were slaves. And yet he chose to identify with them rather than to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And most of the writers, whether this is so or not, we cannot be sure, but most of the writers at least suggest that Moses would have become the Pharaoh. When this Pharaoh who was reigning at this time, when he passed away, that Moses, so he's not only rejecting being identified with the Egyptians, but maybe even the throne of Egypt. And Egypt at that time was the most powerful nation, I suppose, on the face of the earth, as far as we know, the most powerful nation. But that's the first thing he did. He chose not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to identify with the people of God. And second, he chose a life of affliction rather than one of ease. The pleasures of sin, we read here. The pleasures of sin are said to be for a season. By faith, he was able to take the long look. The short look was the pleasures of sin for a season. The long look was eternity separated from God. He was able to take the long look. Our Lord said, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Moses, by faith, turned his back on the pleasures of sin for a season. And then third, he chose the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now, to understand what is meant in that verse of Scripture, we must jump ahead, I believe, to verse 27. When it says in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I believe to understand that, we've got to look at verse 27, the end of it, where we see that by faith he saw him who is invisible. He saw him who is invisible. Now, that verse 27, speaks of a later date. In fact, 40 years later, I understand that. But still, to understand what is meant by esteeming the reproach of Christ, I believe that, like Abraham, he saw Christ's day and rejoiced. By faith, Moses saw him who is invisible. Now, the reproach of Christ means his rejection. The rejection of Christ. The rejection that Christ suffered when he came into this world. When people, and I've had people ask me this question, I would imagine you have too, just how much did these Old Testament saints know about Christ? And what is said of all those listed in this chapter? Just how much did they know about Christ? Well, I think they knew more than what we might imagine. Abraham, as I've already said, and the Lord said, he saw my day. Abraham, Moses, we see here, he saw him who was invisible. He saw Christ. And if you look down to verse 35, all of the people, all of these elders that are mentioned in this chapter, notice what it says at the end, that they might obtain a better resurrection. All of them, all of these believers, beginning with Abel and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and Moses, they all understood a resurrection. Now, none of the heathen philosophers believed in a resurrection of the body. All the great philosophers, the Greek philosophers, many of them, or some of them at least, they did believe in an eternity, living in eternity, the soul at least, but none of them ever believed that the body is going to be raised. And yet these did. These believers did. They knew, somehow it was revealed unto them, that yes, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a perfect salvation. Not only our souls are saved, but our bodies too. Our bodies are going to be raised in that day. It's going to be a new body, yes. But it is a resurrection of the body. It's not a creation of a new body. It is a resurrection of the old body. How did they know that? God revealed it to them. That's the only way they could have known it. Now, if you look at verse 27, and I've already said that this refers to 40 years later. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Now notice, not fearing the wrath of the king. This is the reason I say this refers to 40 years later. What was written up to verse 27 referred to the time when he was about 40 years of age. But that time, he did fear. Look back with me, if you will, to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. The first time he left Egypt, we are told that he did fear. Chapter 2 and verse 11. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew. Notice this, one of his brethren. He identified with the people of Israel, the people of God. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian, hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. But our text here tonight tells us, verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. The first time he forsook Egypt, yes, he did fear. But not when he came back, when God called him and sent him back, and especially after God took the lives of all of the firstborn in the houses of the Egyptians. He had no cause to fear Pharaoh that time because Pharaoh came to him and told him, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel. Go serve the God, go serve the Lord as you have said." So he didn't fear the second time when he left Egypt because the Egyptians were calling upon him to leave. They were in sorrow, having lost the firstborn in their houses, where the blood of sprinkling had saved the Israelites, the firstborn in their houses. The sprinkling of the blood of the Passover lamb, that's the greatest type of redemption in the Old Testament, isn't it? The greatest type of redemption by blood, redemption by substitute, is the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood of the Passover lamb. It was typical of the blood of Christ being sprinkled upon the hearts and consciences of his people, whereby we are purified through faith, which blood is looked upon by Jehovah so that justice passes them by. When I see the blood, I will pass over thee. And when God sees the blood of his Son, which is sprinkled upon the hearts of his people, his justice passes over. Why? Because his justice has already been satisfied. When others are destroyed, nothing can hurt God's people who are under the blood of the crucified one. And we are told here in Hebrews 11, by faith they passed through the Red Sea on dry land. When they started out and they came to the sea, they were afraid, the Israelites were. They chided with Moses, saying, "You brought us out here into the wilderness. Were there not graves in Egypt? You've brought us out here." They could see the Egyptians coming. They were shut in, and God led them to that place. The scripture tells us he did not lead them by way of the Philistines because they would have had to go to battle immediately. But he led them out into this particular place where, in a way, they were shut in. The mountains on the sides and the Red Sea before them and the armies of Pharaoh coming after them. And what happens? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God opened up the sea. And so they passed through on dry land. And then the Egyptians, they essayed to do the same thing. Remember that pillar of fire and cloud that was leading them? It moved back behind the Israelites and came between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And the Egyptians, when they came to the Red Sea, they thought they'd just drive through on dry ground too. But you know the story. And everyone was destroyed. And my friends, think of those soldiers, all of them destroyed, as your sins. Those of you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins put away in the Red Sea of Christ's blood, just like all of those soldiers were destroyed. And then the third, Rahab, we read by faith, also in verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. What an example is Rahab to God's free and sovereign grace. What an example she is. Look back with me to Joshua chapter 2. What a beautiful, beautiful picture, example of God's sovereign grace in saving sinners. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And she said unto the men, that is unto the Israelites, the spies, I know, now notice, I know. She's not doubtful. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Notice, how did she know? For we have heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She said, I know, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. Now, that had happened 40 years before. Remember, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. But the Canaanites, like Rahab, they hadn't forgotten what they had heard. Never heard of anything like this before, that the Red Sea or any sea had been dried up for the people to cross through on dry land. I know, she said, because I heard the word when you came out of Egypt and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Now notice, for the Lord your God, she had been raised in paganism, polytheism, no doubt many gods in Jericho. But now she confesses the Lord your God. He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. I want to close with a story I read several years ago about fear, about God's people and fear. It was two young believers. They had been friends, and the Lord saved both of them, two men. They hadn't been saved long. And one day they met up, and one told the other one, I have found a precious promise in God's word. And he said, well, what is it? Well, here it is, Psalm 56 in verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And they both rejoiced in that promise. What time I am afraid, I will rejoice in thee. And sometime later, they met up again, and the man who had heard that promise, he said, listen, he said, I found a promise also in the Word of God. And he said, well, let me hear it. What is it? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Yes, one had that promise, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. But the other came back with, I will trust and not be afraid. And why? Because the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. I pray God would bless his word to all of us here today, tonight. What a blessing it is to come out and come together and read God's holy word and study God's word together. Let us sing a verse of a hymn, if you will, Bill.
It's a precious thought that our sins are all drowned in the sea of God's blood. The Red Sea in the sea of the blood of Christ. Wow, praise the Lord. Let's sing number 210, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed with sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Saved. Saved.